Chapter 27. He writes to Ad Colin, "I should like to leave today, if you don't mind." Anna listened with a rising wonder. "You want to leave Giver at once?" She gave the idea a moment's swift consideration. "You prefer to be with your friends till your marriage? I understand that, but surely you needn't rush off today? There are so many details to discuss. And before long, you know, I shall be going away too." "Yes, I know." The girl was evidently trying to steady her voice. "But I should like to wait a few days, to have a little more time to myself." Anna continued to consider her kindly. It was evident that she did not care to say why she wished to leave Giver so suddenly, but her disturbed face and shaken voice betrayed a more pressing motive than the natural desire to spend the weeks before her marriage under her old friend's roof. Since he had made no response to the allusion to Madame de Chantelle, Anna could but conjecture that he had had a passing disagreement with Owen, and if this were so, random interference might do more harm than good. "My dear child, if you really want to go at once, I shan't, of course, urge you to stay. I suppose you have spoken to Owen?"
"No,
not yet." Anna threw an astonished glance at her. "You mean to say you haven't told him?"
"I wanted to tell you first. I thought I ought to, on account of Effie."
Her look cleared as she put forth this reason.
"Oh, Effie."
Anna's smile brushed away the scruple. "Owen has a right to ask that you should consider him before you think of his sister. Of course you shall do just as you wish," she went on, after another thoughtful interval.
"Oh, thank you," Sophie Viner murmured and rose to her feet.
Anna rose also, vaguely seeking for some word that should break down the girl's resistance.
"Who'll tell Owen at once?" she finally asked.
Miss Viner, instead of replying, stood before her in manifest uncertainty, and as she did so there was a light tap on the door, and Owen Leith walked into the room. Anna's first glance told her that his face was unclouded. He met her greeting with his happiest smile, and turned to lift Sophie's hand to his lips. The perception that he was utterly unconscious of any cause for Miss Viner's agitation came to his stepmother with a sharp thrill of surprise. "Darrow's looking for you," he said to her.
"He asked me to remind you that you'd promised to go for a walk with him."
Anna glanced at the clock. "I'll go down presently." She waited and looked again at Sophie Viner, whose troubled eyes seemed to commit their message to her.
"Why, you'd better tell Owen, my dear."
Owen's look also turned on the girl.
"Tell me what?"
"Why, what's happened?" Anna summoned a laugh to ease the vague tension of the moment.
Aunt looked so startled.
"Nothing, except that Sophie proposes to desert us for a while for the Farlows."
Owen's brow cleared.
Was afraid she'd run off before long. He glanced at Anna.
"Oh, please keep her here as long as you can,"
Sophie intervened. "Mrs. Leith's already given me leave to go."
"Already? To go when?"
"Today," said Sophie in a low tone, her eyes on Anna's.
"Today? Why on earth should you go today?"
Owen dropped back a step or two, flushing and paling under his bewildered frown. His eyes seemed to search the girl more closely.
"Something's happened."
He too looked at his stepmother.
"I suppose she must have told you what it is?"
Anna was struck by the suddenness and vehemence of his appeal. It was as though some smoldering apprehension had lain close under the surface of his security.
"She's told me nothing, except that she wishes to be with her friends. It's quite natural that she should want to go to them."
Owen visibly controlled himself.
"Of course, quite natural."
He spoke to Sophie.
"But why didn't you tell me so? Why did you come first to my stepmother?"
Anna intervened with her calm smile.
"That seems to me quite natural too.
Sophie was considerate enough to tell me first because of Effie."
He waited.
"Very well then.
That's quite natural, as you say.
And of course she must do exactly as she pleases."
He still kept his eyes on the girl.
"Tomorrow," he abruptly announced, "I shall go up to Paris to see you."
"Oh, no, no," she protested.
Owen turned back to Anna.
How do you say that nothing's happened? Under the influence of his agitation, Anna felt a vague tightening of the heart. She seemed to herself like someone in a dark room about whom unseen presences are groping. If it's anything that Sophie wishes to tell you, no doubt she'll do so. I'm going down now, and I'll leave you here to talk it over by yourselves. As she moved to the door, the girl caught up with her. But there's nothing to tell. Why should there be? I've explained that I simply want to be quiet. Her look seemed to detain Mrs. Leith. Oh, and broken colon is that, why I mayn't go up tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Then when may I? Later. In a little while, a few days. In how many days? Owen, his stepmother interposed. But he seemed no longer aware of her. If you go away today, the day that our engagement's made known, it's only fair, he persisted, that you should tell me when I am to see you. Sophie's eyes wavered between the two and dropped down wearily. Tease you who are not fair, when I've said I wanted to be quiet. But why should my coming disturb you? I'm not asking now to come tomorrow. I only ask you not to leave without telling me when I'm to see you. Owen, I don't understand you, his stepmother exclaimed. You don't understand my asking for some explanation, some assurance, when I'm left in this way, without a word, without a sign? All I ask her to tell me is when she'll see me. Anna turned back to Sophie Viner, who stood straight and tremulous between the two. After all, my dear, he's not unreasonable. I'll write, the girl repeated. What will you write? He pressed her vehemently. Owen, Anna exclaimed, you are unreasonable. He turned from Sophie to his stepmother. Only want her to say what she means. That she's going to write to break off our engagement. Isn't that what you're going away for? Anna felt the contagion of his excitement. She looked at Sophie, who stood motionless, her lips set, her whole face drawn to a silent fixity of resistance. You ought to speak, my dear, you ought to answer him. I only ask him to wait, yes, Owen, broken, and you won't say how long. Both instinctively addressed themselves to Anna, who stood, nearly as shaken as themselves, between the double shock of their struggle. She looked again from Sophie's inscrutable eyes to Owen's stormy features. Then she said, colon, what can I do, when there's clearly something between you, that I don't know about? Oh, if it were between us. Can't you see it's outside of us, outside of her, dragging at her, dragging her away from me? Owen wheeled round again upon his stepmother. Anna turned from him to the girl. Is it true, that you want to break your engagement? If you do, you ought to tell him now. Owen burst into a laugh. He doesn't dare to, she's afraid I'll guess the reason. A faint sound escaped from Sophie's lips, but she kept them close on whatever answer as he had ready. If she doesn't wish to marry you, why should she be afraid to have you know the reason? She's afraid to have you know it, not me. To have me know it? He laughed again, and Anna, at his laugh, felt a sudden rush of indignation. Owen, you must explain what you mean. He looked at her hard before answering. Then Colin asked Darrow, he said. Owen. Sophie Viner murmured. XXIV, Anna stood looking from one to the other. It had become apparent to her in a flash that Owen's retort, though it startled Sophie, did not take her by surprise, and the discovery shot its light along dark distances of fear. The immediate inference was that Owen had guessed the reason of Darrow's disapproval of his marriage, or that, at least, he suspected Sophie Viner of knowing and dreading it. This confirmation of her own obscure doubt sent a tremor of alarm through Anna. For a moment she felt like exclaiming, colon, all this is really no business of mine, and I refuse to have you mix me up in it, but her secret fear held her fast. Sophie Viner was the first to speak. I should like to go now, she said in a low voice, taking a few steps toward the door. Her tone woke Anna to the sense of her own share in the situation. Quite agree with you, my dear, that it's useless to carry on this discussion. But since Mr. Darrow's name has been brought into it, For reasons which I fail to guess, I want to tell you that you're both mistaken if you think he's not in sympathy with your marriage. If that's what Owen means to imply, the idea's a complete delusion. She spoke the words deliberately and incisively, as if hoping that the sound of their utterance would stifle the whisper in her bosom. Sophie's only answer was a vague murmur and a movement that brought her nearer to the door, but before she could reach it, Owen had placed himself in her way. "I don't mean to imply what you think," he said, addressing his stepmother, but keeping his eyes on the girl. "Don't say Darrow doesn't like our marriage. I say it's Sophie who's hated it since Darrow's been here." He brought out the charge in a tone of forced composure, but his lips were white, and he grasped the doorknob to hide the tremor of his hand. Anna's anger surged up with her fears. "You're absurd, Owen. I don't know why I listen to you. Why should Sophie dislike Mr. Darrow, and if she does, why should that have anything to do with her wishing to break her engagement?" "I don't say she dislikes him. I don't say she likes him. I don't know what it is they say to each other when they're shut up together alone." "Shut up together alone?" Anna stared. Owen seemed like a man in delirium. Such an exhibition was degrading to them all. But he pushed on without seeing her look. "Yes, the first evening she came, in the study, the next morning, early, in the park. Yesterday, again, in the spring house, when you were at the lodge with the doctor. I don't know what they say to each other, but they've taken every chance they could to say it. And to say it, when they thought that no one saw them." Anna longed to silence him, but no words came to her. It was as though all her confused apprehensions had suddenly taken definite shape. There was something, yes, there was something. Darrow's reticences and evasions had been more than a figment of her doubts. The next instant brought a recoil of pride. She turned indignantly on her stepson. "I don't half understand what you've been saying, but what?" Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.